Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we've talked about some pretty heavy-duty financial stuff lately. I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk about QE and bonds and interest rates. And in fact, I hope I'm not stressing you out. But if I am, well, we've got some ideas on that too. So I've got to shift gears today, and I've asked a very remarkable gentleman to come on the program with me. His name is Alan Allard, and he is this is a mouthful, so here, listen up. He's a leadership and management coach. He's a consultant. He is a talent management expert and a speaker, a former psychotherapist. That is a lot, but that's good because we need a lot when it comes to figuring out how we think about things and how we approach life and how we deal with life stresses, because we want to do more than deal with stress. We really want to thrive, don't we, Alan?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the program, Alan.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us. So give us a little bit of your background for my listeners, and we'll tell them how we're gonna help them today.
Well, fantastic. As you said, David, I'm a former psychotherapist, and I spent about 12 years in private practice with people bringing me their worst problems. And pretty early on, I realized that was not an effective focus. So I shifted to not thinking about problems, but thinking about how to thrive, how to get more of what we want.
I love that. Yeah, because it's so easy for us. You know, it's like, what is that? There's an old saying, especially in business, you know, that, what is it? One uh-oh wipes out 100 attaboys.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right, because we tend to really pay attention when someone says, uh-oh, or you've messed up here.
Yeah. Well, I love the positive, and I know you mean it. I love the positive message here. And there's another old saying that actually a gentleman I work for at an insurance agency called Brown & Brown, the CEO, used to say that new business cures all ills. And so that's obviously talking about, you know, the positive, being positive and having good things happen. It kind of crowds out the bad stuff.
It does. It absolutely does. And when we shift our focus from what's going wrong or what we don't like to how can I create what I do want and then take action and see it unfold between us, then it creates an incredible sense of positive energy that just carries us forward even further.
And, you know, I know that it's easy for people, as they're listening to us talk about Alan, they go, well, okay, you guys, don't go touchy-feely on us, but, you know, it really, I've seen it work, and I've seen it happen, and I can tell a difference in myself that, you know, when I feel good, people pick up on it, they know it, and, you know, and if you're not having the best day, people certainly pick up on that as well. Let me give some information for our listeners, Alan. So
okay.
The website is Alan Allard, and it's Alan with one L and Allard with two L's, alanallard.com, and then the book, you've got a book.
I do.
Outstanding. 7 Secrets to Enlightened Happiness, Your Guide to the Life You Were Meant to Live. All right. So they can get that book anywhere. Do they go to your website for that?
The best place to get it is Amazon.com.
Excellent. They've got great books.
They do.
They do. Mine's there too.
Excellent.
All right. So very good. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Alan, what I want to talk about is what you really mean with this thriving concept and how we can really set some realistic goals. In other words, how do we put the wheels on the pavement?
Excellent. We'll talk about that.
Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, Alan Allard is my guest. He is a leadership and management coach. He's a former psychotherapist. The website is alanallard.com. The book is Seven Secrets to Enlightened Happiness, Your Guide to the Life You Were Meant to Live. And Alan, I want to really get to, because I know that it's easy for people to say, well, you know, this is all very, you know, as I said before the break, kind of touchy-feely. It's kind of vague. It's all about feeling good, sitting in a circle, singing kumbaya. And so I want to dispel that really quick. I would like you to help us with understanding some of the practical, meaningful steps that people can take. So where they focus more on this thriving concept as opposed to just trying to manage their stresses.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, David, thriving is a mindset and it's a set of behaviors that is defined by growth and development, transformation, and prospering through life. And the reason why I mention a mindset and a set of behaviors is because thriving is more of a state of mind than it is a state of our circumstances. So if someone's in a tough situation, that doesn't mean that they can't thrive because they can. You can lose all of your money and your possessions. You could lose your passion in life, your purpose in life, perhaps. But if you know that you can get it all back, if you have that confidence, then you're going to thrive because you're in a thriving state of mind. And I want to mention when someone talks about, well, I'm not so sure about all of this
right.
Touchy-feely things. I had a business client, tell me, listen, I want you to help me to dramatically grow my income, and he was already doing quite well. But he said, I'm kind of burned out, but I have to tell you, I know you're a former psychotherapist, and if you ask me just once, how am I feeling, or what am I feeling? I'm going to hit you over the head. So,
how many times did he end up hitting you?
Well, you know, he said he came close a couple of times, but when he addressed the things going on inside of himself, and we'll mention some of those in very practical ways, he found out that it was not as ethereal that he thought it was. He found out that it was about as practical and pragmatic as you can get.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I think that's a good place for us to start, Alan, because I think people need to understand that this is not just something you talk about and it's nice to chit-chat about it. It's things that we can really we can affect, because there's so much in our world today, and of course, historians would argue it's always been this way, but it feels awfully uncertain for at least at different times and for some people more than others. And so when you got that, you know, uncertainty out there, that creates stress.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't manage stress. What you have to do is you have to shift the focus to a sense of thriving, to a sense of, okay, what do I want instead and how can I go about getting it? And I often say that the mindset and the behaviors of thriving, that attitude toward life, that mindset, is nurtured through three things.
Okay,
and
good.
I'm going to warn people that this is going to sound a little bit touchy-feely, but I'm going to make it very practical. Because the first thing that nurtures our sense of thriving and well-being is the most powerful force in the universe, and that is love, and you can't thrive without it. And here's why. If you don't believe that you deserve all forms of abundance, whether it's financial, health, loving relationships, having a job you love and are thriving in, then your subconscious mind will make sure that you don't get it.
Mm.
I have clients come to me and they say, you know, I've done so well in certain areas of my life and I could retire if I wanted to, but I just don't have a sense of passion anymore. I'm just not jumping out of bed looking forward to the day. And I say, okay, what do you want? And the common reply is, well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here. And what I have to help them to see is that when we don't know what we want, it's because we've buried it under our fears.
Mm.
We've buried it under a sense of our oughts and shoulds and have-tos and musts in life. And so we have to come back to the very practical subject of, well, let's talk about how you feel about yourself, what you think about yourself, what you think you're worth and what you're capable of. And when we get a strong sense of that, then we get that clarity of, oh, this is what I want. I really didn't want to let that pop up into my conscious mind because really, if you really push me to be honest with myself, I didn't think it was reasonable or I didn't think that I could do that. I had a client that had been a doctor for 5 years and he literally hated it. And I said, well, let's talk about you doing something else. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. He said, I spent all of that money. I have all of this debt from going to medical school. And I have these years of experience. I can't turn my back on that and do anything else. So he was afraid to really think about and explore what he wanted because he didn't think that it was possible or realistic. And that really comes back to our sense of self-love, our sense of self-worth. Are we deserving and are we capable of really going for what we want and making it happen?
That's very good, Alan. I want to ask it before you go into the next few points, because I've had personal experience with this. Is that also kind of related to, or is this, would this be a separate point, is giving yourself permission to be successful? Is that kind of the same thing?
It's absolutely a core component on it because, you know, we are taught through life that we should conform to what other people expect and tell us that it's right. And we have to get to that point where we do, as you say, give ourselves permission to know what we want and to go for what we want.
The reason I brought that in is because I have direct personal experience with that, that when I first started my firm, my financial planning firm, some 16 years ago, back in 97, so that way we'll, the show will be on and stay in our archive, people will know what I'm talking about, that, you know, there came a moment where I said to myself, you know what, you know, I had worked for two other companies, 7 years, two for one, five for the other, and I got to the point in kind of my new startup company that I had to kind of, you know, kind of have that conversation with myself. And again, not touchy-feely, but just, you know, really assessing where I was. And I said, you know, doggone it, you know, you can do this, and it's okay to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And, you know, this is very interesting, David, because, you know, if you go over to a family member's house or a friend's house that just had a new baby and everyone's crowded around that baby and is just, you know, saying, oh, what a beautiful baby, and talking about, you know, their future and what wonderful things are going to happen. No one calls that touchy-feely, do they?
No.
But then we grow up, and then somehow we think that the things that we needed when we came into this world to nurture our sense of self and our capabilities to help us to thrive, all of a sudden, oh, we don't need that anymore, and that's just crazy. We need the same things that we need in life. So if you go into a hospital, you might hear the term failure to thrive, and that is...
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah, that's if you have a child, let's say, in a third world country that's in an orphanage, and they're not picked up and held enough, they're not having that touch, they're not having that that affirmation that they're important.
Right.
That their needs are important, that what they want are important, then they start shutting down.
Wow.
And what happens is we grow up and now all of a sudden we're told, hey, your emotional life isn't important. What's important is your intellectual life. Mm. So if you can just master that, you'll be okay. But I deal with plenty of people that are incredibly intelligent, that have succeeded in some areas of their life, but they're miserable, they're frustrated, and they're stuck in some other areas of their life, and they don't realize that it comes back to their sense of, hey, who do I think that I am? How important am I? Are my wants and needs important, or are they not? It's as simple as that.
Well said, Alan. Alan Allard is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, very, very, very insightful gentleman on this subject, and he's written the book, Seven Secrets to Enlightened Happiness, Your Guide to the Life You Were Meant to Live. We're breaking down some of Alan's points about some of the things that we need to really be aware of. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and continue.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Alan Allard is my guest today, ladies and gentlemen. AlanAllard.com. One L in Alan, two L's in Allard. AlanAllard.com. Okay, so before the break, Alan, we were talking through some of your tips to how to thrive in, at work and life and all the things you do. And the first one you said was the self-love, is the self-worth, the affirmation, the acceptance of oneself.
Exactly. And look at it this way, David. You and I know plenty of people that have a hard time accepting compliments. True?
True.
Well, what's that all about? In other words, here, someone, the universe, is offering something good to us to nurture our sense of thriving, and then we get uncomfortable with it. I had a client that had wanted a Mercedes Class E vehicle for the last 5 years, and after working with him for about 9 months, his income had gotten to the point where he said, okay, now I can, and this goes back to your point about giving ourselves permission to succeed or giving ourselves permission to enjoy life.
Right.
He bought the car, and he told me a week later, gee, I'm having all these people tell me what a phenomenal car it is, and they're just complimenting me on it, and I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm feeling uncomfortable. So the more that we get comfortable with what we deserve, what we want, and understand that it's okay to want things, and we need to nurture that sense, the easier life gets and the more that we're in the zone of thriving.
Well, I love that example, Alan, and here's why. That it also, it gives a great example of culture and society and societal norms. That
yes.
What the political thing or the polite thing you're supposed to do when somebody compliments you, of course, is, you know, of course, you can thank them, but also we tend to, because it's supposed to be what we are supposed to do, is to be, oh, well, you know,
right.
We downplay it, right?
Right, right. We're supposed to be humble, and we have distorted understandings of what humility is.
Right.
So instead of him taking credit for and taking pride in what he did and just saying, like you said with a smile, thank you, I really am enjoying this car, he felt uncomfortable with it at the time. So that all has to do with our attitudes and our feelings about self. So love is the first lens that thriving looks through. The second lens, David, is faith, and that is all about believing in yourself and your place in the universe, knowing that you belong here, that you are capable of change and growth and transformation, and that if you don't like some circumstances in your life, that you have the power to change your circumstances. Albert Einstein said that the most important question that we'll ever answer for ourselves is whether or not we live in a friendly universe. So faith is also about believing that there's something else out there that's behind everything, and that whatever that is, whatever a person's understanding is, that it is on our side and that it's wanting us to thrive. So faith is absolutely impossible, because if we don't believe we can do something, we're going to prove ourselves true for that. But the third thing that nurtures our sense of thriving is taking action. And the reason for that is that our thoughts, our beliefs, are the seeds for creating what we want, but action is what fertilizes that seed and nourishes it and enables the seeds to flourish and thrive. So we have to take action. But if we have a deep sense of our worth, that self-love, if we believe that we're capable of creating what we want, of changing our circumstances, and we take action on it, then we begin to sense that we're thriving, and things on the outside begin to mirror what's going on the inside of ourselves.
Well, and I like that part, and I have to be fair, I've heard it said by some others, but not quite the way you're saying it, Alan. I like it, because you talk about how, you know, what we think, what we expect, what we think about things, how we feel about things. You know, if we don't think we can accomplish something, well, then, you know, you talk about the operation of the subconscious mind, that our, you know, our reality, we're going to bend reality to match the inside, not the inside matching the outside.
You know something, that I love what you just said. We're going to bend reality to match what's on the inside, and that's exactly what happens. And some people call that the self-fulfilling prophecy. But that's a great phrase. Yes, we will bend outer reality to match our inner reality.
And it's also, it could be bending reality, literally meaning our, you know, the way our brains work, that we are going to keep ourselves comfortable. So we may have a very distorted, maybe, view of something, that of what reality really is. But on a more positive aspect of it, I think many people are going to actualize and see those things come to fruition, because they're going to then take the steps. You know, they're programming themselves, right? When we think we're programming ourselves.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We are. What we're doing is we are strengthening the programming that we've already had. We all come into this life, and we are pretty much conditioned and programmed by the people around us, by the environments and our experiences. And what most of us really fail to do is we fail to see, I can change that programming, the way that I think, the set of beliefs that I have. And I hear coaches all the time talking about getting rid of negative thinking or limiting beliefs. And my experience is that we don't have to spend any energy trying to get rid of limiting beliefs. All we have to do is to identify an empowering, a more useful belief that will take us where we want to go, nurture that belief, and as soon as that is strong enough, as soon as we build that new neural pathway in our brain, that's what our brain and our subconscious mind will go to. But we do have to say, okay, do I want to just survive? Do I want to get by? Or do I really want to take off and thrive? So I need to see how I am thinking, what my conditioning has been, and then decide what I want it to be now.
Mm, I like that a lot, Alan. Don't spend any time getting rid of the negative. In other words, don't focus on the negative. Mm-hmm. Focus on the positive, and that will take care of the negative.
Exactly. And it absolutely will. And again, it's that focus. It's, am I going to try to fight this old limiting belief, or am I just going to say, okay, well, what would be a belief that would take me to where I want to go, and spend all of my energy in nurturing that and strengthening that and letting it take root and become my habitual way of thinking.
And just for our, you know, from a business perspective and for a business analogy for the business folks listening to this and also employees of companies, it's probably better to focus and put a lot more energy on revenue and growing the company as opposed to how do I cut my costs? How do I reduce the number of paper clips I'm buying per month?
Oh, you know, that's such an excellent example, because I'm working with several companies right now, and the CEOs, I'm thinking of two, they're in a cost-cutting mode. Mm-hmm. They're in the mode of seeing who they can lay off and how they can save money. And I've just told them, you can never thrive by cutting costs.
You can't
cost.
Cut your costs enough to make money. I mean, you can cut costs and you can be more efficient, but you're never going to become super profitable cutting expenses.
Exactly, and that's driven out of fear. And that, again, has to go to how we really see ourselves and what we think and how we feel about ourselves. You know, so we're just trying to survive and get through a tough time versus saying, let me put all my energies in, if I'm really doing something that I love and if I really believe that I deserve this and the people around me deserve this, how can we focus on building and creating something new and thriving instead of just surviving?
I love it. Helping Us Thrive, Alan Allard. That's the website, alanallard.com. The book is 7 Secrets to an Enlightened Happiness, your guide to the life you were meant to live. Quick break, Alan. We'll come back. Stay right there.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I sure hope you've enjoyed our guest today, Alan Allard. He is a former psychotherapist. He's a talent management expert, speaker, leadership and management coach, and consultant working with businesses as well as individuals. His website is alanallard.com. And Alan, I've really enjoyed having you on the program. We got just a minute or two left here. Any kind of closing thoughts for our listeners today?
Absolutely, David. I would say that if we want to thrive, we have to begin by making a commitment to doing so. And most people have never done that. They've never realized, for me to thrive, I have to make a commitment and I have to focus on it every single day. And I will leave everyone with this tip. If you want to jumpstart your sense of thriving or get into a higher gear of thriving, start paying very careful attention to your self-talk, the conversation that you have within your head, and notice what you're saying to yourself and say, is this helping me to just survive and get by, or is it helping me to thrive? And if you're saying, well, it's not really helping me to thrive, then you put it in the category, it's helping me to survive, and say, okay, what would I need to say to myself instead that'll make me feel powerful, that'll make me feel worthy, and that will just fill me with a sense of passion and energy. And the more we talk to ourselves in a way that nurtures our sense of self-love and our sense of thriving, the easier it gets.
Very well said. Alan Allard's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, David. It's been a great time.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.